legged monkey. Gotta get down with the James Brown sound. Gotta get loose like a drunk goose. Gonna drive a red truck like a funky duck.
Listening to great speeches and interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice, I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining this broadcast, we're listening to Nobel Laureate Lima Gowie talk to Tavis Smiley about Liberia and her experiences as a social worker and mobilizing a coalition of Christian and Muslim women leading to a peaceful Liberia.
Since you mentioned the Bible, there's a Bible verse that comes to my mind right now that says that God has not given us a spirit of fear,
but of power, love, and of a sound mind.
You know it well. I love that. I love a sister who knows her word. So not a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And yet, I'm juxtaposing that scripture with the brutal dictatorship of Charles Taylor. How do you get beyond the fear of a dictator like Taylor on trial right now? We'll come to that in a second. On trial at The Hague, outside of course, of Liberia. But how do you get beyond the fear to get to the love, the power, and the sound mind? But what you're up against is the brutality of a dictator like Charles Taylor.
First thing, I had been afraid all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to a place, I was 17 when the war started. And this is 14 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking 31. You can't be afraid for that long. You get used to it. At 17, the first time I saw a dead body, I froze. at 31, it was a natural occurrence for me.
Mm.
And no group of people should live like that. That's the first thing. So we had gone over the thing of fear. The power came from our anger. I always tell people, anger is like liquid, it's fluid, it's like water. You put it in a container and it takes the shape of that container. So many people you see in prison, unleashing war on their people, they are angry and they take their anger and put it into a violent container. We took our anger and put it into a peaceful container.
Mm.
And then we just got the power, I think, from God, because that anger in that peaceful container propelled us. Taylor had a ban on public gathering. The first day we were just singing and praising God in a little room. And then someone said, let's go outside. Without even a second thought, because he had some of the most brutal soldiers, we took to the street, about 250 of us. People were shocked. We marched through the street, went to the city hall, presented a statement to the press. No one did anything. It emboldened us.
Mm.
The next time we step out, our numbers increased. And every time we step out, it increased and increased and increased. Sound mind? You can't have a sound mind all by yourself. When you live in terror, you live in mayhem, the sound of a tire firing is like a sound of an explosion. You can never have a sound mind by yourself. And I think that's the second place that God stepped in. I'm going to keep this group focused. You will not lose your mind. Even as you lose your children, because there were women losing their children on a daily basis. But you keep your focus. I will give you a sound mind, and you do this work that I've called you to do.
Mm. Tell me how you arrange these kinds of protests. You gather these women together, again, of different faiths, in a country, by your own admission, where women had not been respected. So they're being raped and murdered, women and their children, every single day. I'm trying to figure out how you go from being disregarded in that way to being respected as you protest in the streets. I'm missing something here.
In 2003,
mm-hmm.
we had a gathering where we brought women together in 2002. And these women, after we had sat for 5 days just having a conversation about peace, 20 of us, they decided, let's take to the streets and create the awareness amongst the ordinary Liberian woman that we have a stake in all that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So we started a campaign called the Peace Outreach Project. Fridays, we went to the mosques. Saturdays, we went to the markets. Sunday, we went to the churches. We did that for 9 months. And the first time we started, it was just 20. By the following week, it was 40, 60, 100, 200. And then we had to split up into groups and give people assignments. Then we went to a meeting after 9 months to evaluate the work that we had done. And these women then signed a memorandum of understanding as Christian Muslim women that anything that threatens our society, we will step out. By April of that year, that was when the war started again. These women stepped out. But when we started, we asked each of the groups that came, because as you know, they have different churches and different Muslim sects. We asked them to give us leaders mm-hmm. from their different groups.
Right.
So each group brought a leader, and these leaders became the organizers. So every day after we protested, 20 of us again went around the table, and 3 questions we asked ourselves: what did we do good? What did we do wrongly? And how can we do better tomorrow?
Mm.
Because we had no political connections. We didn't know where the meetings were being held, the big meetings. Someone would just call and say, oh, we saw the presidential convoy going to this place. And there was this old guy who could not make good business with his old bus, so he would just park it daily. And then once we had somewhere to go, we'd jump in. Some days we didn't have money to pay him, and he would say, well, when peace comes, I'll get my pay. So that's how we operated. Sometimes we walk. Other times we had transportation. Sometimes no water. Sometimes we had water. But the one thing we never had to offer those women on a daily basis was food.
Mm. I mentioned Charles Taylor earlier. He is, as we know, on trial at The Hague. Your thoughts about his being on trial at The Hague and not in Liberia, and what you expect to come out of this trial?
Well, first, I have a really radical view when it comes to The Hague,
mm-hmm.
the prosecution of Taylor. I would have loved to have seen Taylor on trial for crimes in Liberia,
mm-hmm.
not minimizing what he did in Sierra Leone. But I also think the people of Liberia deserve some answers for the kind of terror that he unleashed on them.
Mm-hmm.
He's on trial in Sierra Leone, and the verdict is supposed to come any day from now. The one question I'm asking myself, even if he's guilty, how does that make it right for those amputees in Sierra Leone that we see on a daily basis living in camps? Billions of dollars, and this is like a policy issue now. is being spent on keeping this one man in a cell, while hundreds of thousands of people will never have the ability to live their lives right. Every time I ask myself, what kind of justice? Because I think justice is equal if you look at the justice scale. So if you are serving justice to one person, those who have been affected should also be served some form of justice. I would like to see, even after his verdict is handed down, and I think he's going to be guilty, that some of his wealth is given to those people to rebuild their life. That would be a semblance for me of justice.
How do you spend your time these days? Taylor is out of the country now on trial, perhaps about to be found guilty. You got a woman president standing for re-election now. So what are you and the women in your group doing these days?
Many, many challenges, Tavis.
Yeah.
Peace is not an event. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
6 years later, we have teen prostitution on the increase, teen pregnancy. I'm a part of something called the African Women's Leaders Network on Reproductive Health and Family Planning. Liberia has one of the worst maternal mortality rates in the world. 994 deaths to every 100,000 births.
Mm.
In some countries, it's 1 to every 100,000. Liberia has 994. You have the whole issue of the youth surge. Unemployment is high amongst the youth. So we continue to do peace education amongst young people. We're doing leadership with girls, because the one thing I keep saying to the young women and to my colleagues, we've left a legacy. President Sirleaf is leaving a legacy. But all of those legacies will only be a legacy if we have young women to walk in our shoes when we leave the stage. And so that's the kind of work that we do now. Beyond that, we're using our experiences from Liberia into other countries. A few years ago, we conducted a non-violence campaign during Sierra Leone's elections.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, my group and I have organized something we call the first ever West African Women's Elections Observation Mission.
Mm.
So we are having women from all over West Africa go to observe Liberia's elections.
Mm. I love coming to work every day. I love coming to this studio every day because I never know what icon and what great artist, what great humanitarian I'm going to meet. But it's not often that I just see courage walk up in this studio. Courage just walk up in this building. Doesn't happen every day, but it did today, and I am honored to have Lima Boyo on this program. Her new book is called Mighty Be Our Powers, How Sisterhood, Prayer, and Sex Changed a Nation at War. Lima, I am honored to have met you, honored to have had you on this program. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I'm truly humbled just being here today.
I'm delighted to have you. Gandhi once said, in a gentle way, you can shake the world. Lima Boyo wanted to bring peace and tranquility to the people of Liberia at a time when all they knew was turmoil and tragedy. Her simple yet steadfast determination helped lift all the women of her African nation and indeed women around the world. Lima Boyo shook the world indeed. And for that, she was a deserving recipient of the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize.
You can listen to great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Going through customs can be so time-consuming.
Senor, you shouldn't have to be here for more than 5 to 10 years with good behavior.
Now there's a quick way to get your packages across the border.
Hola, amigo. Welcome to Federale Express.
Let Federale Express hand-deliver your parcel.
This one, he's special.
No matter its size or shape.
Hey, buddy, this package is moving.
It's okay, man. It's my sister, Consuela.
Ah.
At Federale Express, we ship your package under the cover of darkness.
Hey, the sun's coming up. Quick, put this package under the seat.
Okay.
Federale Express, when you absolutely have to get it across the border overnight.
Immigration!
Run! Oh, don't forget the package.
Oh, see, see.
We'll be right back.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land, oh, if I ever lose my hands, oh, I won't have to work no more. And if I ever lose my eyes, if my colors all run dry, yes, if I ever lose my eyes, oh, I won't have to cry no more. Yes, I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my legs, I won't moan and I won't beg. Oh, if I ever lose my legs, oh, I won't have to walk no more. And if I ever lose my mouth, all my teeth, north and south, yes, if I ever lose my mouth, oh, I won't have to talk. Did it take long to find me? I asked the faithful light. Oh, did it take long to find me? And are you gonna stay the night? Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, moon
shadow. I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
You've painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair. Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? The shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down. Take your love to town. It wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war, but I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore. And yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be. Some company. It's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed. And the wants and the needs of a woman your age, Ruby, I realize. But it won't be long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around.
Ooh. take your love to town.
She's leaving now, 'cause I just heard the slamming of the door. The way I know I've heard it slam 100 times before. And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground. Take your love to town. For God's sakes, turn around.
These are the times that try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, the people of Boston have rallied bravely whenever the rights of man have been threatened. Today, a new crisis has arisen. The Metropolitan Transit Authority, better known as the MTA, is attempting to levy a burdensome tax on the population in the form of a subway fare increase. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
Well, let me tell you of the story of a man named Charlie on a tragic and fateful day. He put 10 cents in his pocket, kissed his wife and family, went to ride on the MTA. Well, did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
What a pity.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Charlie handed in his dime at the Kendall Square station, and he changed for Jamaica Plain. When he got there, the conductor told him one more nickel. Charlie couldn't get off of that train. But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
Poor old Charlie.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Now all night long, Charlie rides through the station crying, what will become of me? How can I afford to see my sister in Chelsea or my cousin in Roxbury? But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned. He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Charlie's wife goes down to the Scully Square station every day at 2:15. And through the open window she hands Charlie a sandwich as the train comes rumbling through. But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
He may
ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned.
Pick it, baby.
Citizens of Boston, don't you think it's a scandal how the people have to pay and pay? Fight the fare increase, vote for George O'Brien, get for Charlie off the MTA. Or else he'll never return, no, he'll never return, and his fate is still unlearned.
Just like Paul.
He may ride forever beneath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never return. He's the man who never return. He's the man who never return.
That's all, folks.